Today I'm going to talk about challenges in getting flash drive closer to the computational unit. So before talking about the observation that we found, I would like to summarize our work into just a single slide. So the high performance SSD leverages PCI bus as a storage interface, and their interfaces are different from the conventional memory system interconnects as well as a storage interface. This leads a new SSD architecture and a storage stack design. So obviously, it is strongly required to understand that kind of behavior at the system level. Unfortunately, there are not many studies focusing on the system level characteristic of these emerging PCI SSD platforms. So we quantitatively analyzed the challenges faced by PCI Express SSD in getting flash memory closure to the computational unit through two representative SSD. So in this talk, I'm gonna go over four main challenges which could cover main memory consumption, CPU usage, performance as a shared storage, and latency impact on queue issues. This figure showed the trend of bandwidth over time for real-world storage interface. The SATAs improved their bandwidth from the 150 megabyte per second to the 600 megabyte per second, which is enough to accommodate this, all the spinning disk, even include the enterprise-scale spinning disk. In the meantime, the SSD have improved their bandwidth four times and bumped to the standard storage interface. And even further, some of high-speed SSD offer gigabyte scale bandwidth, and they begin to blur the memory access and block access semantic devices. So because of this remarkable bandwidth improvement, both industry as well as academia consider relocating SSD in a conventional architectures. So in a conventional architecture, storage mediums are usually located far from the computational unit or cores. Specifically, cores connected to the memory controller hub called Northbridge and accesses memory or the fast devices such as a GPU over this Northbridge chip. In contrast, storage mediums are sitting behind I/O controller hub and connected to it over physical cable or port. This is because the spinning disk was very slow than the computational unit. However, since SSD are composed of tens or hundreds NAND flash packages, and one of each could offer 400 megabyte per second, these cables, physical cable and ports, are not able to expose pure NAND flash performance behavior to the computational unit. So because of this, both industry and academia consider taking SSD out from the I/O controller hub and locating them as close to computational unit as possible. And there are many ways we could bring the NAND flash drive to the processor memory complex, but we believe one of the easiest way is PCI Express interface. So to integrate the NAND flash drive to the PCI Express interface, there are two main approaches in the industry from the industry. The first is bridge-based PCI SSD called the BSSD, and the second one is the from scratch PCI Express SSD called the FSSD. So from now on, I'm gonna explain the main difference between BSSD and FSSD. So let us talk about BSSD first. The BSSD employed multiple traditional SAS or SATA controller, and this controller connected to the bridge controller. This bridge controller is responsible for the front-end PCI interface management, as well as convert to two different protocols between front-end and back-end. And it's striped the I/O request to the multiple traditional SATA controllers, like what RAID controllers are doing now. So using these bridge controllers, the BSSD can expose an aggregated bandwidth to the computational unit. And obviously, the BSSD can be implemented without a new interface design or implement a host-side device driver. which could offer high compatibility as well as a fast development process by leveraging the conventional SATA or SAS controller technology and architectures. However, the redundant control logic in a single data pass of BSSD and the computational overhead between the front-end and back-end protocol it might introduce longer latencies and performance degradation. So, for example, if there is a computational unit would like to access its contents of flash, then it have to go through root complex endpoint and bridge controller, SATA controller, flash controller, and then reach the contents of target storage medium. So, which could make longer latencies. And in addition, each protocol bring their own encoding and decoding overhead. Typically, the storage interface use 10 to 8 in decoding method, which could increase 25% of data movement for IO service. So to address or get rid of this kind of disadvantage of VSSD, the from scratch PCIe SSD has built bottom to the top by directly interconnecting with a NAND flash interface and the external PCI link. This could be in better position to expose pure NAND flash performance to the computational unit. And in this architecture, the PCI endpoint and the switches, PCI switches, can be implemented as a form of native PCI controllers. And this controller can get rid of the burden of bridge controller and SATA controller from the BSSD. In addition, the connection between the root complex and NAND flash interface could be implemented by one or more PCI Express switches, which can internally handle multiple endpoints. So this point-to-point network make FSSD more flexible and highly scalable. And as I demonstrated, the FSSD could easily expand their storage capacity by putting more NAND flash into their PCI point-to-point network. And in addition, the FSSD also could offer a high performance in terms of latency as well as bandwidth. And they also could have a chance to optimize their software stack in a better way. At the same time, the FSSD could also bring some disadvantage. Obviously, FSSD required to implement the protocol, the new interface protocol, and they need to implement host-side drivers associated to the native PCI controller. And even though reorganizing the software stack could make FSSD more flexible in optimizing IO service, such host-side software modules reorganized by FSSD can compete with user application in acquiring memories or the CPU from the host side. So far, we learned about main differences between FSSD and BSSD in terms of architectures. And now I would like to introduce how different are flash software stack behind two different architectures. Basically, with the BSSD, three main components should be implemented at the host side. So hardware abstraction layer composes multiple NAND flash transactions, and they manage low-level NAND flash technology. In contrast, host interface layer or nonvolatile host controller is responsible for parsing the IO request and manages external PCI link or thin interface. Between them, the flash software, like a flash translation layer, translate or map the addresses between physical and logical. And in practice, these layers also perform to buffer the data or manages reliability of underlying NAND flash, like a whale labeling or garbage collection. In parallel, in a host side, the device driver should be implemented to manage host block adapter and ATAP. Atop the device drivers, there are several software can be implemented, like a block storage layer or file systems. So these two different software stack are separated by a logical block IO interface, which could which could make it difficult to communicate each other. So FSSD, to this end, FSSD migrate a flash translation layer from the SSD to the host side so that they could take advantage of abundant resources from the host and fully utilize the host-level information. And an aggressive approach of FSSD is to merge older applications or the software model at the host side, such as a file system and flash translation layer, into single software module that, so that they could efficiently manage the underlying SSD as well as take advantage of host-level information. So to understand the challenges behind the PCI Express SSD, we choose the most recently released PCI Express SSD coming from two different vendors. And device characteristics are not much different to each other, such as interface, price, storage capacity. And these SSDs are designed for mainly target the workstation. The main differences between those two SSD is the flash software module and the controller type. So the VDF SSD, the flash software modules are implemented as a part of host-side kernel driver. And the native PCI controllers are implemented by Xilinx FPGA. In contrast, BSSD employ a bridge controller, and their flash softwares are implemented as form of firmware or embedded system software. And in these evaluations, we use extra spinning disk for logging the footprints, and we use 16 gigabyte memory spaces composing of 4 gigabyte DDR3 DRAM modules. And due to the time limit, I'm not going to go over all the details about the performance issues, but briefly speaking, we see that the performance values observed by FSSD are 40% better than BSSD. So we use Intel open source tools called IOMeters to generate micro benchmark, and these IOMeters become very popular because the workload can be easily reproduced by handling a few parameters, and we modified IOMeters to specific evaluations like a time series evaluation and the memory usage evaluation, and especially for the memory usage evaluation, we added a module calling global memory status, which on Windows system functions that allow user to retrieve physical and virtual address spaces. And this figure showed overall memory usage for both read and writes with the varying access granularity. And as you can see here, the FSSD consumes 3 times to 60 times more than BSSD for write operation. And for the reads, the FSSD consumes 2.5 times more memory spaces. In contrast, BSSD only requires 0.6 gigabyte memory spaces for handling the I/O request. So let's dig deeper. So this figure shows the memory usage of BSSD over time. And in this figures, legacy mode operation means the user can submit I/O request whenever underlying storage device drivers is available to serve I/O request. And for the queuing method, we introduced 128 queue entries. So as you can see here, the BSSD require only 0.6 gigabyte memory spaces to handle I/O request. However, FSSD tell us very different story with BSSD. At the very beginning of I/O process, the FSSD required 2 gigabyte memory spaces. Interestingly, as I/O process progresses, this memory requirement keep increasing and reach 10 gigabyte memory spaces. Considering the fact that these SSDs are targeted to the workstation, we believe 10 gigabyte memory spaces, the memory consumption is not reasonable and might not be acceptable to the many different applications. So let us compare the CPU usage further. So this figure shows the CPU usage of BSSD under the same evaluation scenario that we use it for the memory consumption evaluation. So as you can see here, the BSSD consumes only 50 to 30% of total CPU cycle to handle the I/O service. The, however, FSSD require much higher CPU cycle, ranging from 50% to the 90%. Specifically, with the legacy mode operation, FSSD requires 60% of total CPU cycle, and I/O service with the Q mode operation require 50% more CPU cycle, which means we need allocate a core for just I/O processing. So that we believe that a CPU usage over 60% for just I/O processing might not be able to degrade overall system performance behavior. And we also measure the latency and throughput behavior under the multiple worker thread. Basically, in these figures, the blue, red, and black line refer the SSD with 8 worker thread, 4 worker thread, and single worker thread execution environment. And as you can see here, FSSD with 8 worker thread offer 100% worse latencies than the FSSD with a single worker thread, and worse than 300% than single worker thread. In contrast, FSSD could offer 2.2 better performance compared to the single worker thread in terms of throughput. So, based on this observation, the system designer could understand have to understand this kind of behavior and the design trade-off between throughput and the latencies under the multiple worker thread execution environments. Another thing that I would like to focus on is the performance behavior over FSSD. FSSD could offer very stable and predictable performance behavior, which is very desirable to the system designer. And this cannot be captured by VSSD or other even different SSD. However, the advantage of FSSD degrades because of high memory requirement and CPU usage, as shown in this figure. So basically, FSSD with a 8 worker thread require 100% more memory spaces and 200% more CPU usage. Unlike FSSD, BSSD offer very similar performance behavior in terms of the memory usage or the CPU usage, irrespective of the number of worker thread. And as we can see here, however, the BSSD could offer very poor performance under the multiple worker thread. As you can see here, the BSSD with the 8 worker thread offer 200% or 300% worse latencies compared to the 4 worker thread execution environment, and it offer 700% worse latencies compared to BSSD with a single worker thread. Unlike FSSD, there is no differences and benefit with the varying number of worker thread, as shown in these figures. And another interesting thing is that they cannot hide the garbage collection overhead at the very beginning of I/O process. So basically, this phenomenon or the behavior called write clip, which means that once the garbage collection begins, performance are degraded, and even after performing many garbage collection, the performance are not recovered. So lastly, I would like to share the latency impact on a queuing method. And in these figures, I put it two different workload consist of random and sequential accesses for FSSD and BSSD. And as you can see here, the queue mode operations offer 100 times worse latencies than legacy mode operations. And for the BSSD, it also offer 100 times worse or even 200 times worse latency than the legacy mode operation. So this is not the novel one, because queuing mechanism could have some impact impact on introducing the longer latencies. But we believe 100 times or 200 times worse latencies on a with a Q mode operation will be or could be obstacle to getting flash drive into the computational unit, close to the computational unit. So let me conclude my talk. So in this work, we are evaluated PCI Express SSD platform, and we showed some observations. And I hope that this observation could be helped to figure out the design trade-off between the performance and the resource utilization. Especially, all flash array or some HPC architecture have to understand the system level characteristic, not the embedded levels or low level PCI SSD characteristic, because it requires more memory usage and CPU cycle. And in our papers, we also argue some of alternative way to introduce better performance with less memory consumption and CPU usage. And for future work, we are constructing an environment automated SSD evaluations, which can perform flash array and PCI-based SSD and different types of SCSI or SATA SSD. So if you have an interest in this kind of activity, please join us. Thank you.
So we've seen that that pushing all of the management of the flash device from the device into the software with the from scratch SSD has a lot of impact on the host system performance. Is there a middle ground we could use between the SAS-based SSD and the from scratch SSD, say by moving the FTL onto the device but leaving the SAS interface out?
One of the problem is, if you would like to move the FTL, you need some optimized native PCI controller, native controller, which means you cannot do anything about the rail labeling or some very sensitive functions like NAND flash technology or the endurance problem. So you cannot take out the FTL from the SSD over SATA protocol or the SCSI protocol and locate them to the host side easily. So one of the reasons why the FSSD could this kind of optimization in a software stack is that they are built from the bottom to the top. So they have controller, and they have all the things that they need.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Speaker again.